Minister, this question is basically to ascertain what actual support has been given on the ground from other government departments to yourself in terms of providing for the urgent housing needs for the Ukrainian refugees, and also for, it should have actually said, for international protection refugees as well in this question, because that's vitally important. Thanks.
Thanks, Deputy. So the operational challenges in responding to the conflict, they are very significant, and all departments and agencies contribute to meeting the welfare needs and integration of Ukrainian displaced persons into communities. And as a country, we've responded well to assisting those who will, and we'll continue to work across government to do that. As you know, the Department of the Taoiseach chairs a senior officials group, or SOG as we refer to it, that meets weekly to consider all issues to do with the accommodation and the wider supports for Ukrainian displaced persons. At the City West Hub, the Department of Justice and Social Protection are both have officials they put in place and have that initial engagement in terms of provision of PPSN and provision of the letter. Social Protection has a dedicated web page for those arriving under the Temporary Protection Directive. The information is comprehensive, addresses public services, income supports, getting a payment, and that's available in both Russian and Ukrainian as well. There's HSE personnel on site in City West, and they assist with medical matters for both Ukrainians and international protection applicants on site. And as you know, there's a whole of government website dedicated towards information for Ukrainians arriving here. As you know, then, of course, local authorities are providing a major role. They stand up emergency rest centres around the country. They have organised the Ukraine Community Forum around the country, bringing together statutory services on a kind of on a county-wide basis, so they can support Ukrainians living there. And also, they've been very involved in terms of the pledged process and moving Ukrainians living in that particular area into pledged accommodation. And obviously, we've also had engagement with the Department of Defence in terms of securing sites for additional accommodation as well. In terms of international protection, obviously we work closely with the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice, the International Protection Office, makes the determination on international protection applicants. And then also TUSLA, as an agency within my department, would work closely, particularly for unaccompanied minors, be they from Ukraine or unaccompanied minors from another country who would enter the international protection system.
Nice high-level overview of it, and in terms of the reality on the ground, I don't think it actually relates significantly to it, because there is big problems. Like, for example, in Balbofay, the asylum seekers that have been housed there have no GP services available to them because they have no PPS numbers. They were moved up to Donegal town without having the PPS numbers applied, or up to Donegal without having PPS numbers applied for, which means that they actually are using hospital services and ambulance service because there's no doctors available, and that's a shocking situation for them to be in. And actually, I think it's happening as well with Ukrainian refugees in Podkrana and Cardona as well, too, where they're using ambulance services because they have no doctors available. And very quickly, what you end up then is word going out in the community, oh, that these ones are getting access, better access and everything. It's because they have no access that they have to use this. And then we have situations as well where school children are getting school transport, the school transport services aren't meeting the needs as well. And we've had a case in Killybegs recently where somebody had to support and pay for the school transport to actually get the Ukrainian kids to attend school as well. You know, so there might be high-level agreements and they might be working well at the high level, but it doesn't seem to be translating out into the ground, and I think that needs to be addressed.
Thanks, Deputy. Well, on the specific issue of the PPS numbers, I'll look into that and look to follow up on that. I've always recognised that the scale of the challenge that both Ukraine and the increase in IP numbers, it is putting pressure on the system, and you can't have that number of people arrive in a country in a crisis situation without pressures. So there will be times where the system doesn't work as quickly as it should. And I understand that, and that causes frustration both for those in Ukrainians or international protection applicants who aren't getting the services as quickly, and it creates frustrations for everybody else as well. Like, we look at the situation in Berlin, they're housing thousands of people in tents, for example, because that's a pressure that's been put on there. We see in other parts of, I spoke to the Scottish minister, they're under huge pressure as well, and Scotland's a country that wants to support people, unlike maybe other parts of the United Kingdom. So there are pressures, there will continue to be pressures, and we will work together across government are best to identify them and rectify them as we come on, and where deputies raise them with me, I'll do my best to smooth them out.
Minister, I understand that there will be pressures because of this. The situation is unprecedented, but then there's pressures for people trying to live as well in the areas, and it's very difficult for international protection residents and Ukrainians who are coming here. And a basic thing like a PPS number that allows them to get a medical card, that allows them to get GP services in an area, is very basic, and I don't think anybody should end up in an area that hasn't got a PPS number. Surely, with computerisation and everything out there, PPS numbers can be issued reasonably quickly. I've got a response back from the HSE saying that they expect it could take months before a PPS number will be registered, given to these people, which means that it'll take months before they can apply for a medical card, and then when they apply for a medical card, it'll take months before that medical card will be granted. And that's it's untidy, like, and it shouldn't be happening. I know there's difficulties, but I don't think those things should be presenting the difficulties, Minister. Thanks.
Look at that.
Thanks, Deputy. Well, look, nothing you say there I can disagree with. I'm happy to look into that and see what we can do to expedite the process in that particular situation. I suppose, and just, you know, following up, and you know, I know I don't need to tell you this, Deputy, but the reason we're under pressure is the scale of the war and the scale of, you know, its ongoing nature. I think many of us in this House thought that our response would be a short-term one over a number of weeks. That's not the case. And even when, you know, we see Ukrainian forces, you know, on the ascent in many parts of the country, we continue to see Russia's ability to target civilian population. And, you know, I'm not a dad, but you can think how any mum or dad who are here at the moment making the calculation, do I go back? I want to go back, I want to go home, I want to re-establish my family, but if there's a risk of a missile or a drone landing, you know, you can see why many of them will make the calculation to stay here, difficult as it... Yeah, I know you're not, I know you're dad. But on your point on the specific PPS, we'll look to follow that up.